Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, October 23rd. I'm Ray Graff. It's the computer show today. Is something giving you fits with your computer at home or at work? Don't understand what's happening? Well, we have people who do. We have Tony Yang, operator of Albany-based Gig Computers, currently managing the computer network here at WAMC. Also in the studio today is Mark Bogosian, owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham. If you have a computer or technology question, now's the time to call 800-348-2551. Again, that number, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Tony is here. Mark is here. You are there. Computer questions coming. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here to answer your computer questions today are Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. It soon blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies, including this one, and they range from a few computers to many hundred. Mark Bogosian is the owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham, New York. With 35 years of experience, Mark offers a range of Macintosh service and tech support. Tony and Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ray. Great to be here again.
Thank you, Ray.
The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551 if you have a computer question. You can email us if you wish. voxpop@wamc.org is that address, but the number is 800-348-2551. Before we get to the blue screen of death, Tony Yang, let's meet Mark Bogosian. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thanks, Ray. It's great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
We get a lot of calls saying, hey, where's the Mac expert here? And now it's on you, man. It's
okay.
On you.
All right. I'll do my best for everyone.
What brought you to the whole Mac business?
Well, we actually started our business. We were the first Apple retailer in the Capital District starting back in 1983.
So you had the 2E?
Oh, yep. Back when I started as a younger man, I was selling and supporting Apple IIes, and well before the Mac hit the sales floor. Evolved over the years into a full service training and sales facility. And then in 2007, I had enough of retail after 25 years and formed what I'm doing now, Castle Mac Service, which is primarily a service and tech support shop in Latham.
But as you described the situation before the show, no one ever needs any support for Macs, though.
Well, no, we don't want to say that.
Really?
Right.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Tony Yang, you said there was some horrible thing that happened with the Windows updates causing the blue screen of death.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to get calls from users today about doing the Windows updates and then get a blue screen or losing a bunch of files on a computer.
Wow, what happened?
Yep, so within the last couple of months, one update for Windows 10 started losing files. If you run the update, you end up losing a bunch of files mysteriously on your computer. Apparently, there's a fix for that now.
What happened? Why would that happen?
You know, this is one of the reasons why we do not recommend, at least our corporate customers, to just blindly update their computers, because you do run into situations like this.
That's so funny, because oftentimes when I sign on the computer here at the station, my desk, it'll say Windows was unable to perform an update. And I said, you know, that's Tony Yang. He's clamped down again on the whole thing.
That's right. We do that on purpose, because experience tells us that most of our corporate customers are not in the need of doing all these updates. These updates are specifically for certain things that are causing either security issues or they're causing, you know, instability issues. And if you're in a corporate environment, you tend to be doing just specific certain set of applications, which has no need to do continuous updates.
You know, you're giving Mark Bogosian lots of ammunition here. He's sitting there looking very superior to all of this PC stuff here. Mr. Mac is here to answer your questions. Well, guys, the lines are loading up, so let's go right to the phones. Now, Harold in Rhinebeck was on the line. We had a little phone crash earlier before the show started.
Uh-oh.
Harold was on the line. The phone's crashed. He's back on. Harold, you're up.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Harold.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not sure if these two things happen together, but I have Windows 8. and I recently got that new version of Gmail. I might not even have all my terms right, but it's like a new version of Mail that looks much different than the old version. And at the same time, I think I started getting a lot of junk mail, just any number of things, about loans, about somebody's looking up your name someplace. It just seems things changed about the same time. A new version of Gmail and junk mail to go with it. If I'm making sense, I hope.
I don't know. Tony?
Well, the first thing I would recommend is getting your operating system updated to Windows 10. Windows 8 had a substantial amount of known issues with various different things. Now, when it comes to Gmail specifically, there is no application that I know of that you would use to open up Gmail. It is basically just a browser-based system. And Google does a great job filtering out junk mail. If you're getting these advertisements, they were meant to be in your mailbox. It's a part of the... It comes with a free service, and I don't know if it's increased lately, but I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
So if you're just using Gmail, the spam filter is built into it, and so whatever is happening is unrelated to.
Okay.
Make sure
the updates are done.
Yeah.
All right, Harold. Thank you for the call. Let's see now, Joe in Middletown. Joe, you're on.
Hello. I have a recurring problem, and it's mind-numbing. So we've all experienced this. You've been on your computer for hours and hours. Now you need to shut it down. You need to run out the door and get to work. And when you log off or go to power down, it says, "We are updating your computer. Do not turn off your power." Now you're stuck. You can't leave. I have to pack the laptop up. I have to take it with me. But I don't dare turn off the power and put it away. And sometimes it can grind and grind away for like 10 minutes. You can't leave. So what happens if you just ignore its advice, power it down? What happens the next time you turn it on?
Okay, that's a great question, actually. So thanks for bringing that up, because I got ammunition now because Ray was just talking about how we don't allow updates on these computers.
Yes.
And that's the other reason is that you're tied into the schedule. It runs these updates automatically in the background, and it decides. It recommends a time for you to reboot your computer.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice but to install the updates if you do reboot it. Now, if the system is in the middle of doing the updates, do not turn it off, because it really can crash the computer. My best advice for you is to go in there and disable the automatic updates. Or you can set it so that it downloads the patches but does not install it.
Okay, automatic updates?
That's right. Your best option. That way it will never come up again, and you do it when you have time.
Okay.
And then how do I, though, make sure I get the updates that I'm going to want? Will it ask me if I want to update?
Yep, you can set it so that it only downloads the files, but it doesn't do the automatic update in the background, or you can completely turn it off and just go into the Windows Update application and do the update manually when you have time.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We talk computers today. Tony Yang is the PC guy, and Mark Bogosian is the Mac guy here, and your questions are welcome. What happens, Tony, if you're doing the update, say it's your desktop, and then the power goes out? That happens.
It does happen. And you're not always going to have problems. But just let's say hypothetically, you're at that moment where it's in the middle of doing a video driver for your graphics card on your computer.
Yeah.
If that video graphics driver doesn't get updated properly, the next time your computer loads, it's going to crash, because it may be missing lines of code in there, or it could be missing half the files that it needs to load. You got to let it finish up.
Yeah, but what if, in other words, what happens if the worst happens? You're updating, your house gets struck by lightning,
gotcha,
and your power is out. Then what do you do?
Okay, so you're going to get the worst situation to be in is
yes,
the blue screen of death.
Right.
You have a couple of options: boot into safe mode or boot into recovery mode. safe mode, if you can get into it, will allow you to roll back your updates.
Okay.
So you can go back to the previous time that your PC was running and get back to that stage. Or system recovery, we set your computer back to the original manufacturer default, which
would
is
not
the
be
last
the best
choice.
Best
that would be the last choice.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go get another call or two in here before the first break. And Paul in Albany. Paul.
Hi, how you doing? I imagine this is a simple problem. I'm not very cyber savvy, but I have a problem scrolling through new emails, actually new or used, any of the areas. This came up once before. It was a simple fix. I have a Dell Inspiron. I think it's 1545, and so it's an older laptop. And I don't have the mouse. What do you call the little screen in front of the keyboard that you just run your finger on to scroll and move the cursor around?
The touchpad.
Yeah, touchpad, right. So some months ago, I noticed whenever I would try to scroll slowly through the incoming email or the old email, any of the lists, it wouldn't scroll slowly. It would jump. Even the slightest movement, it would jump. And then I went to Computer Answers where I got the thing and said, oh, yeah, just run your finger along the side of the touchpad. And I was doing it in the center. And then that solved it nicely. So I was doing that for a while. I should say I have it's a Linux operated system, Ubuntu, which what came with it. And those, all the updates that they do are like automatic, and I've taken all the ones that they've sent, more or less. Since the last big one that they sent, I have not been able to scroll anymore by running my finger along the side. So I wonder what's up with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds... Well, Mog, you want to take that one?
Do you have problems scrolling in all applications or just when you view your email?
Well, I'm reviewing email, you know, sent or old or new email. That's the only time I've noticed it.
But so if you're viewing a map or another website, you can scroll up and down by touching the touchpad anywhere?
Yeah. The moving the cursor around isn't the issue. It's that the mail, you know, like jumps, you know, hugely, like several days worth. I can't get it
all
to
right.
scroll smoothly. It only jumps like several days at a time, for example.
All right, we have to take a break here, but see if you have an answer for us, Mark.
Well, it sounds like it's a software related thing. Something with your mail. Maybe the mail's not loading properly. I think.
Well, the mail's in there.
Okay, no,
we
got
it. I don't
get
the mail. It's just I can't go through it smoothly. I got to go through it step by step.
Yeah.
Maybe I should add that it's I'm not good at clearing out the inbox. I've got like 40,000 emails that in new that I, you know, that haven't been deleted.
So it may just be having trouble loading. You may have just so much mail there that it's having trouble loading that page.
That sounds like a plan. Hey, we got to take a break here, Paul, but thanks very much. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Mark Bogosian and Tony Yang are here to answer your computer questions. More on the way. Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's a computer show today. Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian are with us, and the number is 800-348-2551. And gentlemen, a few emails here, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one is from Carlita, who describes herself as a salty old software tech support veteran. And here's the question. Who invented that Mac bomb icon, and what was it really supposed to mean? And can we bring it back? I loved it. That's from Carlita. Carolita, I'm sorry.
Mark, that's all you.
Well, I honestly don't.
It looks like this, man. Let's see?
Yeah, no,
see
I
that?
Remember it. Okay. Now I had to scratch my head for a second there because we haven't seen it, I think, since the 80s.
Okay.
I'm
guessing she is a salty old software tech support veteran.
I'm guessing Steve designed it, but honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but that brings back fond memories. Thank you.
All right, this one is from Mark in Bloomingburg. I'm running Windows Vista Basic on my old laptop. I need to change to Windows 10, but I've heard horror stories. Any advice on the safest way to do this? Tony!
Back it up and then do the upgrade. Should be all right.
I like Windows 10.
Windows 10 is a nice operating system.
But I liked Windows 98, so that's shows where we are.
Wow, we're going back a long way.
Yeah. This one is from Mark. Why is it that the KitKat operating system on my smartphone won't allow me to save my apps to my micro SD card? Oh, I've been there, Mark. There are no apps in the Google Play Store that will help. Older smartphone operating systems do not present this problem. How can I get the KitKat operating system to do what I want it to do? It's not just the KitKat system, by the way. There are a lot of Android systems that won't make it very difficult to save apps to your SD card. All right, Tony, go ahead, smart guy.
Oh, okay. I've actually we were asked that question last time as well.
Yes, but you have almost as good of a memory as I do. That's great.
I don't know.
Okay,
I'm stuck on that one because I've been trying to do that on my phone, and I can only save data.
Yep.
Onto the SD card.
I find that annoying as
well. Yeah, it is very annoying. Okay. There might be something out there, but I just haven't done enough research to know what to do.
All right, this one is from Ian in Saugerties. The charging port on my iPad 6 is very touchy and will only charge if the cord is angled in a perfect position with pressure applied to the cord. The problem is getting worse. The iPad is not equipped with the technology that allows charging without a cord. Is it possible to have the port fixed before I cannot charge it anymore, or as with most problems with the functioning of an iPad, does the whole unit need to be replaced? Are there any other ways of charging the iPad without using the port? And that's from Ian in Saugerties. All right, Mark Bogosian, smart guy, that one's for you.
Okay, no, there are no other ways to charge it without using the port. A couple of things to check. Make sure there's no foreign materials inside that port. I know with iPhones, for instance, sometimes we get lint and things like that so that the connector won't plug in correctly or all the way. Try another charger cable just in case, although it may not visually look like your cable is damaged, just check the cable with a known working cable.
Yeah.
If all comes down to the port is bad, no, there's no practical way to replace or repair that port.
Why?
It's the design of the device. You can, and there are people doing it, but nobody I would recommend. We used to do that type of service. It's extremely labor-intensive, and therefore just not practical,
yeah, so it's as expensive as buying a new one, basically.
It can be in many cases, yep. Yep.
Okay. There was that contact cleaner. I can't remember the name of the stuff, this electronic stuff that I spray.
I wouldn't spray anything but air in there.
Really?
Compressed air. Absolutely. No, nothing that leaves a residue or any kind of liquid or moisture at all.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Fair enough. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Dennis in Clifton Park. Dennis.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. This is a Windows 10 question. I've got a year-old HP desktop. It's hardwired into my router. Up until a week ago, it's working fine. All of a sudden, I put it in sleep mode. It comes out, and I can't connect. The messages are no default gateway. The network adapter does not have a valid IP configuration is what I see the most. I've been through most of the things on the internet that they recommend. I did get it to come back once by going to the back of the router and pulling the connector in and out a couple of times. So I suspected the router or the cable, but I took the exact same cable on my laptop, and it functions perfectly. But now I'm on my third time with this Windows 10 with this particular issue. Any advice?
So I'm assuming you have rebooted the router itself.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's got to be then, in that case, an issue on the computer itself. Sometimes, you know, you can go into a command prompt and do an IP config and see if it's picking up an IP address. It sounds to me like your computer isn't picking up an IP address. That's where the problem is. So that could be a problem with the certainly not the cable as you described, but it might be a network card issue where it's not making the correct contact, so it's not picking up an address that it needs to get out to the internet. I would try a different network card if you have one. They have these USB network card adapters that you can buy inexpensively, $20-$25. Plug that in and see if that works.
You mean a Wi-Fi kind of thing?
No, actually a hardwired network card, because you know we always prefer cable connections.
Yeah.
So go to one of these Best Buys or Staples out there. Pick up a USB network card, plug it in under USB port. And then connect the cable, see if that solves the problem. If that solves the problem, then you know it's a network hardware issue, and it's a cheap way to get out of it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks, Dennis. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang of Gig Computers and Mark Bogosian of Castle Mac Service here to answer your computer questions. And let's see, who's been waiting longest? Let's go to Arthur in Pawling. Arthur, you're on.
Yeah, I have a Mac Mini, and I saw a third party makes a cable that takes the output of a Mini and terminates in a USB port. Can I use this cable to download the my pictures and videos on my Mac Mini to a thumb drive?
I'm a little confused. Why wouldn't you just plug a thumb drive right into the Mini USB port?
There is no USB port on the Mac Mini.
Yeah, there are.
The iPad Mini?
No, you're talking about the iPad Mini or Mac Mini?
No, the iPad. I'm sorry.
Okay, because there is a model called the Mac Mini. It's a small rectangular.
Oh, yes, that's right.
No problem. So, you know, I think you need to have a special adapter, not just a generic USB from the built-in port to a USB dongle. You need to have a special adapter that would allow you to do that. I'm not familiar with one right off the cuff. I could certainly do a little R&D and see what's out there. But generally, the best way to move pictures or things like that around are using your Apple ID account to bring them onto a computer and then onto a USB thumb drive.
I think we've
All right.
Thanks, Arthur. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, and Kyle is in East Greenbush. Kyle.
Yeah, hi. This is a question for Mark. I've got two MacBook laptops. Now, I have a question about the Mojave. I'm updating the current one as we speak, and I have an older one that's from 2012, and I was wondering if you suggest I do or do not update it on that one.
Well, 2012 can certainly handle it. With all major software updates on the Mac, I generally recommend that you wait a good 30 or 60 days before you do upgrades to your systems. Mojave just came out, I think, about a month ago. So I would wait a little longer. Since you've started one already, you might as well follow through and finish that one. But certainly your 2012 can handle it. I would always do a backup of user files before you do any major updates like that. But yeah, at some point you'd want to update that 2012 for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how current the Mojave was, so that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's brand new and it'll work on that machine.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thanks, sure. Kyle. It's the computer show today. Mark Bogosian handles the Mac. Tony Yang handles the PC, and our number is 800-348-2551. Voyana in Greensfield. Voyana, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question that's been driving us crazy, and it happened on two of our devices, once on iMac desktop computer and also on our laptop. And basically what happened is that Windows Word would magically disappear with a click of a mouse, and everything would turn into text edit, which I believe is an Apple application.
Yep.
And it would also convert all of the Word documents on our computer to text edit. At the same time, we would get a big question mark instead of a Word
icon.
On our dock, right? Yeah. Icon, and so I'm not sure why that happens. What is it that we are doing to provoke it, and also how to convert it back? How to get the Word program back on our computer?
Okay. Well, it sounds like somehow your Microsoft Word application has become disabled or erased, deleted, missing. If it's one of the more recent versions of Office or Word, one that is subscription-based, it could be something's wrong with the subscription so that when you launch it, it no longer activates. When and if the originating application, in this case Word, is missing or disappears, by default, Word documents will try to open up in TextEdit because that's the only text-based program that you probably have on the machine right now. So it sounds like somehow Word is either disabled or has been missing, or possibly some files are damaged or corrupted and therefore it won't launch. The next thing would be to go into your applications folder, see if you can physically find the Word application in an Office folder, see if it'll launch by itself. If it doesn't, then go back to either reinstalling it, or if it's a subscription based online, you'll have to make sure that it's activated and able to open. But it's basically okay. Happening because your Word is either gone or missing or won't actually open for some okay. reason.
All right.
I will do that. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Rick in Goshen. Rick.
God bless you. Hey, Ray, is that really you?
Yeah, it's really me, man. Is it really you?
How you doing, buddy? Yeah, it's really me.
Good, you're on.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Mark. How are you today?
Great.
Hello.
All right. I am a computer illiterate, but my son seems to think I need to get the internet into this brand new apartment of mine, and I have no idea about how to do it in a most efficient way. He said something about a modem, and do I need a landline through the phone company, or do I do that through cable, or how do I do it?
Okay. Well, that's a good one. Tony, why don't you handle this one?
Okay. So this is an apartment complex that you're in?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's wired for cable, but
okay.
There's certain things. You can't get cable. There's a certain cable provider here.
Yeah.
And I think it might be Spectrum, and I don't want to deal with them anyway.
Oh.
All right. But if I can use a landline to do this, like through Frontier Telephone, you know what I'm saying? Can it be done that way?
Yeah, most phone companies will offer you some type of a DSL or SDSL connection. If you're lucky enough to be in one of those Verizon Fios territories, then you can get Verizon Fios, which is the best alternative you have comparing that to Spectrum.
Well, I'm on a Verizon phone right now. It's 11 years old, but it's still working.
Well, the thing is, though, it depends on where you are. If you're pretty far from the poles, as it were, you may not get the fiber optics.
Yeah, and I hate to tell you this because it doesn't sound like you're a fan of Spectrums, but they do have the best deal out there. Unless you can get Fios, that is by far the best package you can
get.
Really?
I'll be darned.
How would I go about getting that? I've heard horror stories, about Spectrum, and I've seen some of the work they've done, which was not what I considered adequate work, and I'm sorry.
All right.
I don't mean to be, throwing names around and playing bad with anybody.
You've already done it, anyway.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Let your lawyer send me the papers.
Thank you very
much,
Rick. I appreciate it. Anyway, in a more generic way.
Yeah. I think by and large, they do a fairly decent job, especially if you only have just a single computer at the house. They provide you with all the equipment that you need. You give them a call. They send a tech out, install it for you, and you're good to go.
Chances are, though, Rick, if it's an apartment complex, there's already infrastructure there. You may just want to talk to the person in charge. Hey, man, we got to go here, but thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark Bogosian is here. He is with Castle Max Service in Latham, New York. Tony Yang is here from Gig Computers in Albany, New York. And who's next? Oh, okay. Susan in Lake Katrine. Susan.
Yes. Hello. I'm not sure someone called earlier and said something about his phone device.
Hey, Susan, are you on speakerphone by any chance?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, thanks.
There, you're off. Okay.
That's better.
So this gentleman called earlier about his scrolling problems, and I have a couple of ideas that might work for him.
Oh, great.
He has to go back into his mouse settings.
Okay.
And scroll, and he can set it for a slower speed.
In the mouse settings,
or the scrolling section, wherever that might be on his computer.
Yeah.
And that should clear that problem up, where he can set it so it can go slower. And maybe it won't jump so much. And he said something where his scrolling thing wasn't working after a certain update. He can do the same thing. Go in there and check it and see if it's on.
Those are great ideas. Yeah, Tony? Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I think when he called in, he was having that particular problem just in the email program.
Right.
Which I am in agreement with Mark that, the likelihood that it is the software causing the issue That's the biggest possibility.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah. Susan, thanks a lot for the call. Let's take a break here, Zach, the engineer. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. More of your computer questions coming up. I got to tell you, the PC and the Mac guys have been at each other's throats during the break. I've had to separate them like three times. Mark Bogosian is with Castle Mac Service in Latham. Tony Yang with Gig Computers. Now, they've been playing fairly nicely so
far. It's only been three fist fights, Ray.
Well, you know what?
It's not exaggerating.
You guys are all right. You guys are all right. Everybody just calm down. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And now it is time for Janice in Maybrook. Janice, you're on.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a Toshiba computer. I know it's a virus. It's a woman with a British accent saying that it's from Microsoft and I have to call this phone number. And if I shut the computer down, all my information is going to be sent to different financial places. And, you know, I get these viruses. I have spyware and I have all this other stuff. And every time I bring it to get fixed to the computer store, it's like $100. Yeah. So I'm wondering if I could do anything myself.
Sure can. Tony answers this question every show.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
There's a software out there called Malwarebytes. It's really, really good at removing spyware. There's a pay version and a free version. Even the free version does a great job. But the pay version will stay in resident memory and protect your computer continuously. And you can absolutely download that and have it scan the system. It will probably remove 99.9% of all the issues on your PC for you.
What kind is it? What's the name?
Malwarebytes.
Okay.
You know, Janice, the one thing you can do, though, if you're freaking out, and it says, you know, if you turn the computer off, we'll send all your information to XYZ.
No, I do turn it off.
Well, unplug it from the internet, you know? Unplug it from the internet right. And then do a scan. And it sounds like spyware to me. Mark.
Well, I want to add, you know, we see this all the time. What you're seeing may not be an actual virus, but a fake site to get you to download something.
Yeah.
Okay.
We see this constantly where the sites pretend to be Apple or Microsoft or the government.
Yeah. Right, right.
And click here to protect yourself, and that's when you do the damage.
Don't click.
More often than not, they're just bad pop-ups. And I know on the Mac, at least, sometimes it'll actually freeze up the computer to the extent that you do have to pull the plug. You've got to press and hold the power button to turn off. But a lot of them are just fake websites that prompt you to click someplace, which then downloads a virus or does some kind of malware or adware.
Right. Well, this is a phone number that comes up.
And never call those numbers.
No.
I don't. No, I know that. I'm just trying. I could use the computer while the woman's, you know, is saying it over and over and over. Then I'll turn the computer off, turn it back, and it's fine for like an hour or so, and then it comes up again.
Yeah. You want get rid of that spyware and adware. You'll probably be all right. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
I think it's good that you mentioned that, Mark. After you're getting Malwarebytes, do not get rid of the antivirus program.
They're two separate things. Absolutely. Oh, by the way, I inadvertently turned Harriet from Connecticut right on the air here. Harriet, how are you doing?
Well, I'm fine, Ray. How are you today?
Good. I was going to make you wait, but I hit the wrong button, so you're on.
Well, I would have been happy to wait, but since I'm here,
go ahead.
I have two questions. My first question is, I have a Samsung Galaxy smartphone. It's an older one. You know, it's a small format. It's not one of these giant things. I absolutely love it. I use it for email, texting, calling. It's with me. And since I got it, I don't use a computer. I use this exclusively. My question is regarding email. I've asked many of my friends, but apparently they know as little as I do that no one can answer me. When you accumulate emails on your smartphone, are they held like in a cloud? And then when you access your email, when you pull up your email, they are then retrieved and are accessible through your phone? Or are they all in your phone?
Now, that's a great question.
Because I have so many, and I don't spend any time eliminating them. And my thought is that if they're in the phone would have blown up by now.
All right, gentlemen, what do you think?
I actually have a Samsung Galaxy phone myself. So depending on the setup, typically when you set up email on the phone, the emails do get downloaded onto
your
phone.
Well, I only have Gmail. I never set up email. I use Gmail exclusively.
Okay. So if you're just using let's say the Chrome browser to go to gmail.com and look at your email, then those are not downloaded to your phone. So that may be what's being
done. Okay, they're out there in the ether somewhere.
That's right. It's sitting at Google's headquarters where their data center sits.
Oh, excellent. Oh, goody. That makes me awfully happy.
Oh, we're happy.
All right. So there's the answer to that one. Now I'll tell my friends.
All right.
And my other question is, I've had this phone for about 2.5 years. As I said, it's my constant companion, and I use it for everything. And it is beginning to do some peculiar things. And my question is it time for me to get a new battery? It locks up. And then I can't do anything. And then I just put the phone down, and 5 minutes later, it displays the Samsung thing, then it's working again. And it's doing things like that.
Nice.
And when it's in that mode, I can't turn it off.
Yeah,
I can't do anything. But then it comes back.
It sounds like it might be time to start shopping for a new phone, just based on the age. It may be the battery, but in cases like that where it seems to restart on its own, I would probably yield to considering a new phone.
Oh, at this point. Well, I'm sorry, Harriet. We gave you one good answer and one bad answer. But thank you for calling. We appreciate it. This one came in via email. This is also about Samsung. And this is from Doug in Massachusetts. I keep two separate email accounts. My Gmail I use for business at work. My personal email that I use with all my friends, family, etc. is Yahoo. Recently, I got a new Samsung Galaxy smartphone for work, and when I logged into my Google account, it automatically synced my Gmail and my Yahoo mail. Is there any way to undo this? I've noticed since this happened that I've been receiving friend suggestions on Facebook, which is tied to my Yahoo account, for my coworkers. I can only assume that some of my coworkers are seeing friend suggestions for some of my, shall we say, unsavory Facebook friends. And that's from Doug. Okay. Can you undo it?
Can you undo the email setup? Yes,
the
certainly.
Sync.
You can remove the sync. I think what happened is when you first get your phone, it's because it's Android based. It's going to want you to log into the Android Google system, and typically that stuff gets backed up from your old phone. So it thinks that you just replaced your phone and then wants to restore everything. So there's nothing wrong there. It's pretty logical. But you can definitely stop the syncing by removing your accounts off the phone.
Accounts on the phone. He wants to have his Gmail and his Yahoo, but he doesn't want them to intertwine. In other words, he got the new phone, right? His Yahoo Mail is his friends, his unsavory pals on Facebook, whatever they may be, Doug. We're not casting any kind of we're not making any sort of judgment on you. But the Gmail is for business. He needs them both on his phone. How do you make them separate but equal?
Can you use a separate Gmail app? I know on the Apple phones they have a Gmail app and a Yahoo app, which would only work with their respective services.
Okay.
Instead of using a generic email program, maybe?
Yeah, there are a bunch of different ways you could do that. You can, like you said, Mark, you can use two different apps, or within the mail program itself, you can set up two different profiles.
All right.
And not merge them together.
Back to the phones we go, and Sally in Durham. Sally, you're on.
Hi. Yes, a couple weeks ago, I spilled a little small amount of wine, like less than an eighth of a cup, on my MacBook Pro keyboard, and the computer died instantly. I quick Googled what to do, and I read a couple forums, and it said to turn the computer upside down, which I did.
Right.
But 15 hours later, it was working.
Oh, boy.
And I've been using it ever since. However, the battery won't charge.
Oh, my
gosh. The minute I unplug it, the battery is dead.
Was it red or white?
it was Cabernet. It was red.
Oh, delicious.
so then I took the back off to look, and you could see like a little bit of dried wine, hardly any. And I noticed the battery is in a black plastic bag. And I thought, well, how could the wine even infiltrate that? So I guess my question is, do I just need a new battery, or were there little wires in there that may have been damaged?
Well, first of all, let me tell you that when it comes to wine spills, everybody claims that it was just a small amount.
Now, wait a minute.
So that said, it might not have damaged the battery directly. It might have damaged circuitry on the main board that's reading that battery. In some cases, we can take the battery out and actually do a logic board reset, which will allow it to reread that battery properly. In other cases, we have to replace the battery. And unfortunately, in some cases, that the damage is such that that main board would have to be replaced there because it's not reading the battery. So something like that, I would have to take a look at in my shop, but you probably did the right thing by at least looking inside and addressing any, you know, acute liquid that might have been in there. But it could be the circuitry. It could just be basically a shock to the system that we have to reset the logic board to have it read.
All right. Well, you answered my question, because I was thinking that maybe I could just buy a battery and it looks pretty easy to install, but yeah. I didn't want to do that and then have it not work. So
right. Now we can test it and figure that out. And then you know whether you need a new battery.
Well, Sally, thanks a lot for the call. I wonder if champagne would, you know, maybe bubble out any potential problems with the circuitry. Yeah? Like Alka-Seltzer?
It's been tried, but it will not work.
Okay. All right. Over to Glenn in Catskill. Glenn, you're on.
Hey, thank you. Hey, I believe my problem happened after a Windows 4 creation update on Windows 10. When I go to shut the computer off, it tells me a program is running. I look in the task manager, I don't see any programs running. So either I can just shut it down and tell it, you know, ignore that message, or I can log out and then shut it down. You have any suggestions?
I've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah. I would just ignore it. If you're not seeing anything on the screen, it's just stuff that's running in the background, and it's not going to cause you any problems. So I would just ignore it and go ahead and force it to shut down and reboot.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn. We appreciate the call. It is Derek's turn. Derek in Albany.
Hey, good afternoon. Quick question. I have a router that's probably less than 3 years old. It's wireless. The signal on it was kind of low around the house, and I wonder if there's any way I could boost that signal or get it working better again.
You mean it's gotten less effective than originally?
That's... Yeah, well, I a friend suggested downloading an app that you can detect the strength of the signal on it, and it's only reading like 25 points out of 100 points, and it's not.
Yeah, I will just reset that router back to manufactured default, and then log into it and make sure that you're running at full power. Of the routers do allow you to run at 50%, 75% power. But
is it possible, though, that there's something now in the way, a metal planter or something in between the computer and the router?
Yeah, you do not want to put that router next to a big metal box or anything like that. That would bounce the signal right back. Normally, if you just reset the router, it will get you back to full strength, just like a computer. If it slows down, reset it, and you're good to go. So best of luck.
Thanks, Derek. And over now to William. William in Albany. William.
Hi. I have a laptop. I'm running Windows 10. And after it starts up, it's very slow. And when I go to the task manager, it shows my disk usage is 100%. And I've done some of the diagnosis I found online, but it's not resolving the issue. Any suggestions or recommendations I should look at online?
Ray, what's my solution?
I'm going to say you want to clear out spyware and such, right?
It sounds like spyware, but I was going to say SSD drive.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I would recommend a solid-state drive there, William. That's what I would do.
It is normal, by the way. Just so that we're clear on this, it's normal for the drive to be spinning heavily right after the startup, because it's still loading. Even after you see the initial screen, it's still loading a bunch of other applications. It takes about a minute sometimes, a couple of minutes, before it actually slows down. I would certainly clean out the system, run system cleaning with Malwarebytes or with one of your antivirus programs to make sure there's nothing causing the issue in the background. Other than that, upgrade would be a great solution to this.
One thing that works for me sometimes, William, to some extent, is you go in and you check what you can turn off some of these programs that automatically start up that you really don't need running in the background unless you click on them. So, in other words, when you boot up, there'll be a ton of these programs that you've installed that are automatically saying, oh, yeah, I've got to start up. I've got to be ready to go. When, in fact, you don't need them ready to go. And that taxes your boot time a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yep. Got it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right, guys. One or two more here, and then we will take a break. Well, no, we'll end the show. That's what we'll do. Jules in Great Barrington. Jules, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Quick Mac question. I'm in the market for a new computer here, and I've been doing a fair amount of research, but I'm just up against a little bit of a conundrum, which is on the Apple refurb site. I've been looking and comparing two different machines. Both are 13-inch. One is from last June, and for a 3.5 dual-core i5 with 16 gigs of RAM, it's the same price as a July 2018, 13-inch, 8 gigs of RAM, but quad-core 2.5 i5.
Okay.
I do a lot of audio and video production, I'm just trying to figure out, because they're not upgradable in any way, what's going to be stronger and a better investment.
Okay, we only have 30 seconds here, Mark, and one thing I should tell you is we don't do prices over the air here.
Oh, no problem. So first of all, I'd really have to look at those specs to give you a good answer. One thing I can say right off the cuff, for any kind of media production, I think memory is a big thing. Drive storage and RAM are going to be your biggest focus items, not so much the speed of that processor, since both machines are within a relatively new time range. And that's my 30-second answer.
Okay.
Yeah, get the extra RAM.
Good luck, man. We appreciate it. All right, Mark Bogosian, how do people find out more about Castle Mac Service?
I can be found at castlecomp.com, CastleComp.com on the web.
Great job. And Tony Yang, Gig Computers?
GIGSystems.com.
Guys, thanks a lot for being here today. Support comes from Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food. Beers, wines, and cocktails. Live music every Friday. ChesterCommonTable.com. Bergeron Electrical Services. For over 30 years, providing the Pioneer Valley and Western Massachusetts with all electrical services, interior and exterior lighting, generator installation, and more. BergeronElectrical.net. George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York. Specializing in buying and selling antique collections for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. And State Street Fruit Store, Deli, Wines, and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday, 4 to 7, statestreetfruit.com. Thanks again to Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian for being here today. Thank you for listening and for the terrific calls. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Jesse King. Our producer is the birthday boy, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Renata Lewis and Alex Monticello will be in the studio to answer your real estate questions. Stand by for news.